Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We feel good. We do. We feel as good as we can feel.
Okay.
Day two coming off vacation.
Well, let's get into it then.
Let's get into it because, and it's funny that we're going to go from how good I feel considering everything.
We just want to yell right now.
So this is tough. Like, I just sent the person we're going to be talking about, Aditi Kinkabwala.
Yeah, the preemptive text is a wild move, by the way.
Oh,
can we
really
unpack this for a second?
Yes.
I appreciate it, but I also think it's. Let's unpack it. So you've sent her a text apologizing for words you haven't yet spoke.
Yeah, because I think I know where I'm going with this one.
Okay.
So as you know,
there's a chance she never would have found out what you said, by the way.
Yeah, I don't want to take that chance.
No, you don't want to risk that.
No, because, and listen, I'm not going to fall back on the absolute hack idea of, oh, I was taken out of context. No, we post videos that are 90-second clips of what we say.
When it's not her responsibility to go listen to the whole entire segment to gain the context.
Correct. And here's the other part. Aditi here, obviously, that's one of the favorited guests of the Morning Boys. And, you know, she goes on there a lot more because there's the great relationship that her and Ken and Anthony formed all the way back when, you know, she first started covering the AFC North. So, like, but I also, like, I personally like Aditi Kinkabwala.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she is just a nice human being who is amazing at her job. And who's one of the people who walked the line of I'm very open about a lot of my life, and I've got a lot of connections, and I'm also not completely full of crap.
Well,
and there's not a lot of real people in media, and so I really appreciate her. And there's a chance I'm going to say something that might actually upset her.
Okay, and I always do it with the context of there are many people that claim to be close with the Browns front office in the media. She actually has real connections.
Yeah. Well, and listen, I here's the thing. There are plenty
people
of people
football know her,
and this is what I think is so. This is a genuine. I like you. I'm going to say this. I think I'm disagreeing with your point, but if for whatever reason you happen to disagree with it, I just want to let you know. Please tell me if I say anything that sounds like I'm disagreeing with you instead of your point. That
would it help if we had Mac just play the role of Aditi instead? And just instead of Aditi saying these things, we can have Mac just be like, I think Kenny Pickett's awesome. And then you can just shout it down at Mac instead.
Aditi is a family person. She's raising two young children. She's got a thriving, successful career and marriage. Mac is no Aditi.
Well, no, we know that. He'd be cosplaying. He'd be playing the role.
What I meant is Mac in the future could be Aditi. Mac could have all those things, but he's still very young in his life. Now, so why'd you turn this into I unintentionally Duke on Mac? Because that's not what I was going for.
No, I mean, I just think like if you play the role of Batman, it doesn't mean you are Batman. Like, I mean, you're playing the role of Batman.
Yeah, but you probably should be around some bats, no?
You should probably get
into some spandex to feel it out a little bit.
Is that what that's all Ben Affleck was missing?
You think Val Kilmer just put on the bat suit and was like, I guess I'm Batman now? Or do you think he did some research? You think he had some life experience?
Yeah, but you still don't turn into it. You're playing. You're cosplaying.
He's not Daniel Day-Lewis. He's Mac.
He's not even the top three
of potential actors at this place.
The subject is just giving a good Kenny Pickett take a la Aditi Kinkabwala.
You're seven minutes in the show. How did it completely turn into bleep on me already?
I'm not bleeping on you. I'm just
bleep
saying you're not
Mac.
An actor.
Bleep on Mac. How about it?
I've not seen you on stage and screen. Did I miss you in the new Spider-Man movie or the new Superman movie?
I mean,
it was filmed here in Cleveland.
It's hardly Hamilton that he's trying to pull off if he's giving a good Kenny Pickett take in trying to be Aditi.
Oh, no, that's not what happened this morning with Morning Boys. That was the most passionate take. Guys, what was it? 4 weeks ago, Aditi came on this station and talked about Kenny Pickett. And I thought,
it was from 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. We got that from their afternoon show.
And I thought,
because she does a weekly hit in Pittsburgh. And I listen to it every week because I like Aditi.
And I thought, wow, I'll never hear anyone polish the Kenny Pickett experience in favor of Kenny Pickett in the way that I heard that. And then I heard her on the Morning Voice today. And we have how long is the clip we're going to play there, Faux Aditi?
32 seconds.
Okay.
Thank you, Faux Aditi.
So this is 30. See, I'm trying to give you the role.
I think you can do it.
Did you say Faux Aditi? Aditi would never do that. That's exactly what I'm talking about, Mac. But so this is 32
Aditi
seconds.
Aditi would do exactly that, though.
This is 32 seconds of a 5-minute Shakespearean epic promo that she wrote on behalf of Kenny Pickett.
And I can tell you, I talked to Nick Sirianni about him at length at the Combine, who said he really helped us. He's a great young man. The fact that you're all writing him off before he even gets a chance. I mean, 2 years ago, Joe Flacco was written off. He was sitting on his couch. And then look at what he did. It just feels like we're so quick to say somebody's a bust, somebody's a dud. There's no chance possible. Sports are supposed to be about hope. Like, let's hope there's a revival story here, as opposed to, okay, let's just expect somebody to fail.
All right. So there was, so that's a really good approximation of what she said. And you hear a lot of the passion. You hear a lot of the points she made.
Mm-hmm.
People expect Kenny Pickett to fail. And comparing him to Sam Darnold is a bad move because Kenny Pickett, as bad as Sam Darnold was in New York and Carolina before he went for the year in San Francisco, Kenny Pickett was 10 times worse. Kenny Pickett wasn't Sam Darnold bad in his NFL career. Kenny Pickett was Zach Wilson bad. Kenny Pickett was unplayable bad.
Right.
And yes, Matt Canada, not good at his job.
Also right.
Yes, they didn't have Franco Harris running, although they did have the 15th best running game in the NFL, which is still a passable running game. By the way, they had the worst passing game in the NFL that year. Who was a quarterback? Oh, yeah, they didn't have a great offensive line. They didn't have the worst offensive line in the NFL. They also had one of the best defenses in the NFL. And, oh, yeah, Mike Tomlin is universally renowned as one of the best 10 head coaches in the NFL. And because to me, Aditi's passionate comment, I cannot tell you enough. Listen back to Aditi's full 5 minutes on with the Morning Boys today. Because it goes in a lot of directions.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them are in service of this narrative of this is unfair to Kenny Pickett. Guys, the implication that it's unfair to Kenny Pickett or unfair to write Kenny Pickett off means that he's never been given a chance. He has. He was given multiple chances.
Right.
And I'm given two streams of information. That in a situation where the head coach has never lost more games than he's won. All right? Never happened. A guy who's got a Super Bowl ring, whether we think that's part of the Pittsburgh mystique or not, one of the 10 best head coaches in the NFL, took a slap, you know what, quarterback to the playoffs or on the precipice of the playoffs 2 straight years while juggling Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, and a bunch of other knobs. Or I've got 2 quarters of football in Philadelphia and Nick Sirianni, who traded the man. They loved Kenny Pickett so much that they thought, you know what?
Well, her defense on that was that he was doing Kenny Pickett a solid. That was her defense.
Because that's what teams do.
I just said that was her defense.
When teams get into the NFL, when teams get quarterbacks in the NFL and they go, this guy can play in the NFL, they go, let's help this one out.
No, here's what I think is happening.
It's not the NFL. It's the help, the people helping people league.
Okay, so but Aditi's a great storyteller. She loves a great story. What is Kenny Pickett at the heart of this?
If he was a crappy quarterback.
Yes, fine. But if he was to make a comeback for the ages and lead the Browns and be their version, our version of Geno Smith, Sam Darnold, whoever you want to throw out there, that is a fantastic story. And so I'm not accusing Aditi of falling in love with the story, but I am suggesting that the story part of this, I feel like, is what a lot of people, maybe even outside of Aditi, are getting wrapped up into.
Yeah,
but it's a great story, but it doesn't mean he's going to be a great football player.
Well, but I think my problem is the NFL is littered with guys who are busted in the first round who don't end up what Sam Darnold was last year. So you have to look at the... I understand
right,
looking at the...
More people did not end up that way.
Yeah, and by the way, we can look at the context he was drafted into. When Kenny Pickett was drafted into Pittsburgh, was it 4 years ago now? Not one single person said it was a bad fit. As a matter of fact, everyone was like, I mean, he's from there. Tomlin knows him because Pitt and the Steelers...
They share the practice field.
They share the practice field. I mean, the Steelers know this kid. They know what he does well, what he can do well there. That is a revisionist take. And listen, I'm all for hope. I am. All right? Like, we draft Shador in the 5th round. And I'm like, that's an incredible value. I hope that kid works out. I don't think much of Dylan Gabriel. But you know what? I hope he does it because I'd rather not watch bad quarterback play. Who doesn't want to watch good quarterback play? And to me, if you're a Browns fan out there listening to this and you think that I'm attacking you, I'm not. I'm not attacking Aditi either. I'm attacking because what Aditi is espousing is what I'm hearing from so many national writers who know ball. And we're spinning Cinderella stories instead of talking about the... Guys, if we get into the wheel of probability, there's like a 1% chance Kenny Pickett ever does anything meaningful in the NFL. He wasn't bad. He was atrocious. He was unplayable. He was stink. He was filth. He was crap. He was nothing. He was a nudnik. Nothing. Not a damn thing. All the right. guy's unplayable. He's not talented enough.
Okay, so use the logic then. If you can, we both feel this way. Do you feel like then we're all just being used as patsies to try to drive up the price for Kenny Pickett?
It's
because that makes a lot of sense to me.
That's one of the many reasons why this could be. And this is what we do with crappy quarterbacks. Like, there's a part of me that's like, okay, my job in the media is, yes, I'm a fan too. So there are things that I'll be naturally more hopeful for than if you took the same thing to some schmo in Green Bay doing radio, talking about the Browns, having some distance to it. But at the same point, guys, there's hope, and then there's being, like, blind hope. And I promise you, that's not about Aditi. It is about the same seven things that are said in defense of Kenny Pickett that not one person thought of when he was drafted in Pittsburgh 4 years ago. And I'll go back to, watch the tape. He's unplayable. Matt Canada can't take a quarterback from great to unplayable. All right? A middle-of-the-road run game in the middle-of-the-road offensive line can't take a middle-of-the-road quarterback and make them absolutely unplayable. Now, you know what makes a quarterback unplayable in the NFL? An unplayable quarterback. You're not talented enough. You don't process well enough. You don't have the intangibles enough. You don't have the right mixture of any of those things. That's what Kenny is. And that's okay, by the way. Like, the Browns brought him in under one auspice, then they drafted right. two quarterbacks, and the mission changed because of that. And listen, do I think there's some modicum, little wisp of a chance just in the air? Yes, because it's the NFL, and we all get to fall back on, I don't know, who knows? But we can do that for a lot of things in the NFL.
We can do that for just about every quarterback we can think of that failed out in the first or second round.
You know what this is to me? This what? Is some iteration of, Shador could be a great quarterback because Tom Brady was a six-round quarterback. Okay, guys, but how often, yeah. how do things tend to go for third, fourth, fifth, six-round quarterbacks? Yep, some of them end up being Kirk Cousins and make it $300 million. Most of them end up being, oh my God, James Morris from FIU, who started his career at BG, who got drafted in the fourth round of, and I think might be legally declared dead by now because nobody's heard hide nor hair of him since he was drafted.
You're calling people he's dead?
No, I'm saying legally dead, like Jimmy Hoffa. Because it's a disappearing act. No one's seen him. Do we know if he's alive? I don't know. Call the authorities.
I don't know. He's probably like selling insurance or something.
So I don't like
living a nice life.
When fans, the old Krenzel, right? You're bad at quarterback in the NFL. They go sell some insurance.
They always have a job for you somewhere.
And I wouldn't mind it either if there's enough money. I just continue to come back to the idea of, I understand as a fan, if you're hopeful about Kenny because he's here, and you want to indulge the idea.
I don't see many fans that are that hopeful, by the way. I don't know. Well, I mean,
because there are. There will be 3% of Browns fans.
Are we going to have maybe 3%? Are we going to have like some big Kenny Pickett contingent here?
I
don't think it's happening.
No, but I think there will be some. Like, there's still people out there who think Deshaun's coming back, guys. I mean, not just coming back, but he's going to show you. After those allegations and 5 years of nothing,
I think what made what Aditi said so startling, what made it so startling to her, or to the listeners and to people paying attention, is that we did watch Kenny Pickett play football. We know that he's not good at football. Like, he's got to beat those charges.
Well, and so I think that's where I'm at. Again,
and we can't give him the benefit of the doubt until he actually does it.
If a fan wants to fan on Kenny Pickett, I have no problem with it. But when it comes to who's being unfair about Kenny Pickett, I think it's unfair to expect Kenny Pickett to be anything other than what he's been in his NFL. He's a backup.
Yeah, once you're on your third quarterback, I no longer have to give you the benefit of anything.
And listen.
And like Baker Mayfield, for instance, in Tampa Bay.
Yes.
No Tampa Bay fan had to give him the benefit of the doubt, and he went out there and he showed what he could do. But when you're on that many teams in that many years, we don't have to give you the benefit of the doubt.
The biggest benefit of the doubt for Kenny Pickett.
You have to beat the Chargers now.
The biggest benefit of the doubt for Kenny Pickett is look at the other three quarterbacks he's competing against. But you could do that with every one of the other three quarterbacks. That is the beauty, and some might say the fatal flaw of this quarterback room, is you go to all of them and you can be like the guy from Major League saying they still bleep and suck. But this idea that it's unfair to Kenny Pickett? No, it's unfair to have different expectations for Kenny Pickett than what he's been in his career. Yes, there are quarterbacks that can be that. There are quarterbacks that have been that. There will be more quarterbacks in the future. But when we get to hope, you then have to mix hope at the cross section of hope with, well, what have we seen from him?
Well, and I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to fall for it. The banana in the tailpipe when all of a sudden, if he's still here on the team when we get to preseason games and isn't just traded off, if he starts to look good, I'm not going to fall for it.
So here's
we've seen that before.
So this is an AJ on Twitter. Twitter reactions on social media brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. He said, I understand your Kenny Pickett take. I have no problem with it, but this is such a low bar. But Kenny looks like a Hall of Famer compared to the guy we traded him for. No, he doesn't. Kenny looks closer to DTR, respectfully.
DTR AJ was about as bad as I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, Kenny was unplayable.
I mean, DTR, though, is that...
Yeah, no, DTR is also unplayable.
DTR is
like,
really
Kenny,
bad.
Kenny Pickett is closer to Nathan Peterman than he is to who Sam Darnold was in New York when, like, four more teams gave him a chance to be good. So I say all of this...
I mean, it's not... I'm not going to defend it. It's not good.
Like, listen, guys, if Kenny wins the job or if he's anointed or whatever, yeah, that's the quarterback of our team. We'll get behind it. I might be cynical about it. We'll see. Sure. I have no other choice than to watch the damn thing. The same thing I've done for the last 25 years or whatever the hell they've thrown out there on the field. But let's also stop putting this into some sort of, I mean, it's unfair to Kenny Pickett. Like hell it is. It's fair of Kenny Pickett to look at who he's been in his career, look at what he's done, when he was drafted, why he was drafted, what he was drafted into, and say, yeah, Steelers weren't perfect. Kenny Pickett also stunk. Those two things, they might not have interacted as much as people think.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So, you got to get to break now.
Let me ask you. We'll get there. Let me ask you.
Yeah.
Was I okay on that one? Or should I send another text?
I don't think you went at her at all.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
No, I think if anything, she's going to be like, wait, she might go back and listen and be like, I'm waiting for the strikes because this preemptive text said things were coming that were mean to me. You were just mean to Kenny Pickett. You weren't mean to her.
Just trying to get another stream on the old stream machine. Quick hits coming up at 2:40. We got John Fanta, Cleveland's own, at 4:00 today. He's team afternoon drive. Yeah, he's been kicking the hornet's nest there. We like that. John's joining us at 4. We also have Albert Breer at 5:20. We'll get Albert also saying, well, you know, Kenny Pickett really was beset by a lot of things in Pittsburgh as well. That's coming up at 5:20. But 216-474-0092. Is it unfair to write Kenny Pickett off? Because I'm telling you right now, I've written him off. I can be wrong about things, but I've written him off. And I think a lighter, nicer way of looking at the Browns quarterback situation is right in front of us. I'll tell you what that is in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. It's funny how now, simply because I'm not spending the entire time saying Shador's not worth the second pick overall, it's funny how people are now just conflating your love of Shador with mine and how I'm like, it's honestly
they're
unfair.
Conflating with yours?
Yeah, like saying that we both want Shador, like we're both... supporters, as
I actually think
them.
this is a good turnout for you, if I'm being honest. You get to live in the catbird seat of the Shador Sanders discussion, because if people are conflating it and they think that you have just always been Team Shador, well, if Shador goes off to the races, and I almost said his name very funny there.
It did.
If Shador goes off to the races, if Shador goes off to the races, though, if he's awesome, then you're going to, like, by association, you'll have latched on and had a bunch of credit. And if he stinks, I know you didn't say these things, so I won't be the one to be like, hey, yeah, no, you were Team Shador the entire time. I'll be like, no, Nick, you were right about it.
But here's the thing.
Yeah, that's a good spot to live in, I think.
I feel like, take-wise, I'm normally very intellectually honest. I don't deserve that credit for Shador. Now, since...
No, I know that.
Well, no, but,
not,
but
who are you arguing with?
No,
I know that.
But I think my point is I don't want the credit. I want you to get the credit.
I'm not trying to give you the credit.
No.
The people have spoken.
But, well, I'm telling the people, this is all JP. Because the truth
the people have spoken. If they're going to associate it with you, listen, we can't change narratives out there. If they're going to associate it with it as everyone all together on this behalf, then guess what? If he's great, then you get to come along for the ride.
I don't want to.
But then if he's bad, then you get to have all the receipts of being like, yeah, no, I didn't want him here to begin with.
No, I feel like that would be disingenuous for me to do. Because here's the thing. I think we need to illustrate that you've went on an island by yourself. People hopped on the island and left and hopped back on the island and left.
Yeah.
I think if Shador's good, you just deserve a crap ton of credit. I actually don't think you deserve that much of blame if you're wrong. You just got it wrong. That NFL teams get it wrong all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I would hate if people were like, "Yeah, Nick Wilson was also right about Shador." I don't know. No,
people rewrite these things whatever way they want to when it's all said and done anyway. Think about how many people, and there are enough because I was the only Baker fan on this station at the time, but like there aren't many people that will come up and be like, yeah, but he was right about Baker so many years later. You just remember, people remember what they want to hear anyway.
You know who will?
You will?
Me, because I was listening to you in Charlotte.
You will?
Thank you. I was like, right there.
Yeah.
That's my guy.
Now, did I go overboard there too? Oh, you bet your ass I did. Yeah, you bet your ass I did.
You weren't the guy. You weren't the guy in Charlotte saying, guys, come on, let's get Baker. Let's do this thing. And then it lasted six games because Matt Rhule can't coach his way out of a paper bag in the NFL.
That was a tough time. That was me talking about the other time I've been on a quarterback island. And every now and again, I'll have people come up and they'll thank me for being the only person that was a Baker supporter. That does happen. But so many people forget I even liked Baker.
That's interesting. Every once in a while, somebody from Charlotte who loved my show will be like, man, but you were wrong on Baker. I was like, okay, but I was right on Sam Darnold. I want to give you more of the credit so that if he's not good, I can take so much of the credit.
Well, like, that's really a little shiesty.
No, how is that shiesty?
What a setup that was. That felt a little. That was a little sleight of hand, David Copperfield.
That means
you're betting on Shador to not be good. Listen, in your head right now, the bet you're making is Shador won't be good.
No, that's not what I said. There are shows on this station who cannot claim to have any stake, and they will on the Shador thing because they talked out of both sides of their mouth. For 5 months. We don't have that. We were on opposite poles. You were on the North Pole, I was on the South Pole. And so my point was, now I will not rub your face in it if he's not good here. I trust you won't same to me.
No, clearly that's not the game that we play.
That's totally going to happen, by the way. We will.
Well, like you got to own it in the sense of it. You do have to own it. Like if you get it wrong, I have to be the one to constantly be like, hey, listen, hand up, my bad on that one. I don't know what I was seeing that wasn't out there. That's where that falls on me. Because if not, if it falls on you, then we're just doing I was right, you were right radio. And that's not really fun for anybody either.
Unless
I mean, fun for a little bit. Fun for a very little bit.
Both right, and everybody in the station was wrong. And then God help the rest of the station.
Then it's just a good time.
Yeah. That's just, we call that a kegger, called a hoedown, a hootenanny. Got a lot of names for that one out there in Medina County. Now, Keith actually came up with this. I don't know why I said actually, like, oh, the guy who runs the station came up with a good topic.
who came up with 15 topics a day for 15 years.
Like, the best producer I've ever worked with came up with this one good topic now that he's the boss.
Constantly comes up with topics. You got one, though. You got one.
He threw this out there, and I actually want Jake to put out the Twitter poll on this one. So there's a few conditions with it, but the question we're going to ask you guys is, if we handed you $200... and told you that you had to pick a quarterback most likely to still be the Browns quarterback in a year or two. So like Browns starting quarterback or in the conversation. Which one are you putting money on? So the rules are you can't pick none of them. Nope. Don't be a coward. All right. We're giving you a free bet here, hypothetically, not in reality, because I don't give those away. FanDuel does, though, occasionally, if you want to go and sign up on FanDuel. But we're going to give you – so basically this is just like – it's like you never really had the money – but you're trying to make the smartest bet possible. What's the other one you can't do?
Well, we said the field, but that basically implies that you would have multiple quarterbacks in this stretch. No, like it's like eating dinner at my house growing up. This is what's on the menu. You got to choose from it. There's no swerving and being like, I want this instead. It's like, no, mom made this. You got to eat this.
All right. I'm going to guess.
Yeah, you're going to go out on a limb here.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say you would choose Shador Sanders.
Obviously, I'll choose Shador. But I do love the thought process of going through why I'm taking Shador over everyone else. With Joe Flacco, I'm worried. So Joe Flacco's second on my list because there's a outside chance that Joe Flacco plays all 17 games, a very outside chance, but he plays all 17 games, is awesome, and then decides, I guess I'm Tom Brady, and I'm just going to play until I'm dead. So, like, they come back next year, and then he just keeps coming back until the wheels fall off.
He's going to be 40. He's not playing until he's 81.
I mean, he'd play until the wheels fall off, and then when they fall off, people will push him aside.
You just go to Shady Pines?
If Joe Flacco's 57 years factory. Old, if he's 57 years old and throwing for 4,500 yards, guess what? He's playing until he's 58. Okay, like that's how I think this works with Joe Flacco. So I think Joe would be number two, and then I think Kenny Pickett would be number three, and Dylan Gabriel number four.
All right. So as we have the conversation here, who do you think I'm picking?
I have no idea who you're picking. I think the only sensible take anyone can have in this is Shador, and it's not because I'm obviously a big Shador Sanders supporter. I just don't know how anyone wraps their brain around Joe Flacco playing 17 games and then coming back next year. You already established you don't like Kenny Pickett in the slightest bit. That was evidenced by the first segment of the show. And then you've crapped all over Dylan Gabriel, the Oompa Loompa, until basically for weeks on end now. So only sensible thing you can do is Shador Sanders in this.
If I had to choose between one of the four quarterbacks, Dylan Gabriel would be one of the two I would choose.
Yeah, the other one.
A year or two from now,
but again,
you still have a chance.
You can't take the field. I gotta make you choose here.
But it's Shador Sanders.
It has to be.
Yes.
It has to be.
Yeah, because like Colt McCoy. We got 13 good months out of could Colt McCoy be the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. And eventually we were like, he's a really good dude. Cries a little bit, but no, that's his dad. Sorry. He's not good enough to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. The physical limitations were too much. I think that's where we get with Dylan Gabriel. Mm-hmm. I think Dylan could start the first four games of next year. So no games this year because rookie said whatever. Start the first four games of next year and we could be like, that's a good backup. With Shador, there's like three or four different ways that I could see him being in the starting conversation a year from now, even if it's just he's the presumptive quarterback and he's battling whoever you took with a first-round pick this year, assuming it's not the number one pick. The number one pick, it's over. But if it's like the fourth quarterback off the board, it stands to reason Shador could still have a chance going forward.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. The idea that like whoever doesn't win out the battle still is probably just going to end up being the backup quarterback for years to come.
216-474-0092. We're going to put this up on Twitter. It's actually up right now at afternoon 923FAN. You have to pick one of these four quarterbacks. There's no wiggle room here. But we gave you $200, a free bet, hypothetically, to put on which of the Browns' four quarterbacks, which one specifically, will still be on the, Jake said on the Browns' roster. We're still on the Browns', in the Browns' quarterback room.
Got to delete the poll and put it back up.
Got to put it back up. Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, Shador Sanders. Who you taking? We'll get back to this on the show. We'll ask Fanta and Alber this as well, but
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Big news for Stephen Vogt in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world to the sound bites you need to hear, hurry. It's Quick Hits.
All right, big news here, buddy. Big news. Yeah. Stephen Vogt has been named to the American League All-Star coaching staff. So great accomplishment. We do still love Stephen Vogt in this town, but I will ask you, because it's got me thinking, this is a big, for a second-year manager, especially for a 500-team manager, are we still as high on Stephen Vogt now as we were at the end of last season?
You're suggesting the bloom might be off the rose? I think it has. I think there's been a skid as of late, and I think that no one's blaming Stephen Vogt. We know that this offense stinks, Nick. It's not Stephen Vogt's fault. It's not his fault that this offense stinks. It's not that's not his problem. I feel like where there was a defense last year of Vogt constantly, that defense doesn't exist right now.
Yeah, I've seen people being like, I didn't like when you put Tanner Bibee out in this situation, or I didn't like, and we're doing what we should do with managers. It's okay to nitpick managers. I hate the narrative in baseball that managers don't matter anymore because I watch Manny act a manager. I can tell you, and managers do matter. even if they're not
I think right now they matter more than they ever have, Nick. And the idea
I've
been one of the people in the past that have been like, it's baseball. Let's put it in proper perspective. They don't matter as much as NFL managers and they are, you know, coaches, and they don't matter as much as NBA head coaches, but they do matter. And FanGraphs has done the work on it and suggest a manager is worth upwards of 4 potential games in any given season. Well, look how close these seasons are ending these days.
Well, and here's the other thing.
Like, everyone's bunched up. Four games can be the 100% difference between making it not.
Well, and if we said a 4-WAR player, that's a borderline all-star player.
Mm-hmm.
So if a manager's worth borderline an all-star player, now that being said, I don't think we should be down on Steven. I think because what Steven, when he's making mistakes right now, I don't think they're necessarily the wrong decisions. He's trying to figure out what the right decision is because he's got nothing going at 100%. The easiest thing, when you have one facet of your team playing elite baseball, and that can go, even if we're just talking fielding, elite fielding team, can't really hit, good pitching, not great pitching, whatever, great bullpen, but maybe bad rotation like last year, it's easier to manage. When you go to push the buttons, and half the time the buttons don't work, you're juggling while doing right. calculus.
Yeah.
So I don't think this is anything about Steven. And in fairness, like I think the things plaguing the Guardians right now, one is the obvious thing that it always is, and it's always going to be about money, and that's a fair assessment. It just gets taken to a ridiculous level. And the other one is they have some tweaks they need to make to their player development, and more specifically, their ability to assess young power hitters and young guys that actually do matter in the middle of your lineup. Not contact hitters, though. Oh, boy.
We love a contact
hitter.
We got
some guys with 655 OPSs who will contact you out the wazoo.
A confirmed report through Andrew McCutchen was first talking about this on X, and then a report out of The Athletic has Major League Baseball, once again, for no reason at all, messing with the baseball, causing it to not go as far as it should is the end result here. So if you've thought to yourself, there's not as many home runs as there typically is in any given season, that thought is correct. The baseball is flying anywhere from 4 to 6 feet further than what it was typically in any of the years past, and baseball never has an explanation for it. They say the seams are a little bit higher is the best they will offer up, but I hate how baseball continues in any given year to try to manufacture what they think we want or don't want.
Who's the guy that does this, by the way? I feel like there's like a Wizard of Oz thing going on. Is it like Cheech and Chong who are just smoking doobies and popping gummies and doing THC drinks, and they're just like, let's put the seams higher.
So I gotta imagine it's got to go all the way to the top. It's got to be a Manfred decision, you would think.
This is too harebrained for a commissioner to diddle with a baseball the way they're diddling with a baseball.
We've been talking about in different years, though, for the previous 6-7 years, about where they alter the baseball and they try to manufacture the desired result that they want or what they think they want. And I think it's interesting that they basically rolled the baseball back this year.
When, by the way, they don't just change it year to year. They'll change it mid-season. They'll change it multiple times in a season. And it is, I might overuse this, it's nonsensical. It's a baseball. They've been made roughly the same way for like 100-plus years.
And I get it, like a few years ago when they made it closer to a golf ball than it was a baseball, and they shrunk it a little bit. Like that made sense to me because you were trying to get the game to be more exciting with more home runs and more power, and or at least more perceived power. Messing with it to go 4 feet, 5 feet short doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, and I every time I hear it, I feel bad for players because baseball is the right. hardest sport. Whether you're a pitcher, even though they got ridiculous training regimens now and ridiculous things, even if you're a hitter with some of the robotic things they can do, it's impossible. It is impossible to be good at baseball. It's harder than any sport when you break it down into the individual things they do. And now in the middle, at any point, without any explanation, without any heads up, it's like, hey, we just made your job tougher in a different way that you can't figure out, and that it's going to take a couple weeks to figure out. No, but we might change it again after that. It's just dumb. Like, of all the things you tinker with, I don't get tinkering with the NBA is not like, let's take an ounce out of that basketball.
Yeah, the only people that did that in football was Brady, and he got punished for that.
That's true. Omaha! Bill Simmons of The Ringer tweeted out asking if we could ban the face of the league conversation, calling it the stupid conversation in the NBA.
Okay, Bill, you can't You love stupid conversations. You're built on stupid conversations.
This would very much be like the guy that invented firearms being like, we got to ban these firearms. This is a problem. Like, this is...
I mean, what are we doing
This is
here?
Almost like an Eric Andre-esque skit. A skit of, like, him shooting the guy and being like, how can this happen? That said, is there a conversation or topic as a sports talk show host or any of the listeners out there that you would consider banning or support banning?
Well, I wanted to ban the Pete Rose Hall of Fame one. That's been for so many years, and it looks like it's banned itself.
Yeah.
So I feel good about that.
Life banned Pete Rose.
I'm on the cutting edge of that one. We got that out of the way.
It bans us all, Mac. Don't make that face.
I don't like quarterback rankings, although I love quarterback rankings, so stay with me.
All right, Bill Simmons.
I love a quarterback ranking, I think, more than just about anybody, but I'm kind of disgusted with the top four quarterback rankings that's going on right now.
Oh, what's about it?
They're at a spot where you can win a Super Bowl with every one of them, and I don't need to go ahead and tell you the reasons why Joe Burrow is slightly worse than Patrick Mahomes. Like, we do that ad nauseum. Oh, no, I got a better one. Screw that. Scratch that take. I like quarterback rankings. I'm not going to dog that one.
That's my favorite. Since
it's one of my favorite things. The MVP discussion in the NFL, because we spend so much time talking about it, and then when it actually gets announced and it's done, it's like, oh, Lamar won his second MVP, then that's it. That it just goes away, and that's it. We spend so much time discussing MVP conversations that ultimately go poof up in thin air.
Does it count if I say the Mount Rushmore conversations? Because I kind of feel like
those might be back. I don't know.
I was going to say, I haven't heard anybody
They've been gone away for so long. Well, PMT still does their Mount Rushmore of everything. And I think having considered the best sports podcast in the game?
Yeah.
PMT, like, I think they made enough of a joke at it that anyone that does this is like, I guess we can't do Mount Rushmore anymore.
Hack's going to hack. Service. Hack's going to hack. It will come back. I'm just saying, if I could write it into legislation... Yeah, just don't do that again.
Could our new bit being taking, like, take all the hack stuff from the 90s and just bring it back and maybe it won't be hack again?
Run it hack. Omaha! That's the right call there.
Yeah, that was the right call.
Thank you, Mac.
Sun star Kevin Durant denied his top two NBA trade destinations. He had already been denied a couple spots. He wanted to land with the Celtics, and he wanted to land with the Knicks. New York's interest reportedly isn't mutual anymore. They want nothing to do with KD. And Boston's cap sheet and the trajectory make that scenario highly unlikely as well. So KD is not going to get his wish.
I have to tell you, I kind of feel bad for KD. It's also funny that KD's trying to pull the same moves at 36, 37 that he's pulling at 31. And I also think, like, because I'm so confused by the discourse, like, I don't understand Houston considering trading Jalen Green for Kevin Durant. I don't know Jalen's going to be a top five player. If we say who's got a chance to be a top five player for 5 years or longer in the next 10 years, I'm going to say it's Jalen Green over Kevin Durant's old ass. And he's still a really good basketball player, but he's not who he was before the Achilles.
Has there been anyone in the past 20 years that has loved the tea and the drama more than Kevin Durant?
No, and that's why I also like Kevin Durant. The fact
he's good for business.
Well, he's soft batch, but he knows he's soft batch. And that's okay. Like soft him batch. Owning. Yeah. He's soft. Batch. Soft batch cookie biatch. All right, that's dirty pool out of you. That is dirty pool out of you tricking me to say it on air. Soft
you
batch
got very
cookie.
Excited. Yeah, you got very excited.
Stop the rest of it. Band of Brothers, watch it sometime. Yeah. That is quick hits. There is lazy, there is dumb. And then there is this lazy, dumb Jose Ramirez conversation, which we'll have in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.